Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Megillah Daf Yud Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we turn to the upper part of Daf Yud Aleph, three lines from the top, we find ourselves in the middle of a series, as is indicated by the geometric forms that you encounter immediately. You see a double underline, which highlights the name of different Rabbonim, and you have a triangle, which encloses a phrase, Posach lo pischo lahai loho parshosa. This has been already part of our shiurim in the last shiur, where different Rabbonim are featured in their opening phrase of lectures concerning Megillas Esther. So we open up different, each Rav opens up his lecture to Megillas Esther, and this Gemara doesn't feature the actual contents of their shiur, but rather the opening phrases that they used to open up their drosha on Purim. The openings involve psukim, and it's our job to see the connection between the different psukim that they cite. These are not psukim from the Megillah necessarily. We're talking about psukim from all over the Tanakh, and then see how that posuk somehow connects with the Purim story. So we continue on the third line from the top, Rabbi Chanina bar Papa, Posach lo pischo laho parshosa, he opened his lecture on this matter, on the Purim story, Mehocha, from the following posuk in Tehillim, Hirkavto enosh l'roshenu, bonu bo'esh uvamayim, vatotzienu l'revoya. And as is characteristic, the Gemara then breaks down the posuk into its component parts, and we'll then see the connection. The Pasuk mentioned Bo'esh, Bimei Nevuchadnezzar Rosha. He threw the leading members of the Jewish community into the fire. They were Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah. And in that time, there was a big miracle. They were saved from the furnace. Uvamayim, Bimei Paro. We, the Jewish people, were subjected to being thrown into the water during Paro, Vatotzienu l'revoya, and we were extricated for freedom, Bimei Haman. So there you can see that that the pasuk, which is commemorating the different times of troubles that befell the Jewish people, whether it be in the time of Paro, the time of Nebuchadnezzar, nevertheless, when it came to the Purim story, the Purim time, in the time of Haman, we were saved. Rabbi Yochanan posach lo pischo laho parshosa mehocha. Zochar chazdo v'emunosoi leveis Yisrael ro kol avsei oretz eis Yeshuas Elokeinu. The posuk mentions that all the leaders of the world saw the salvation provided to us by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amosai ro'u kol afsei oretz eis Yeshuas Elokeinu. When is it that all the leaders of the world saw the salvation of the Almighty? Bimei Mordechai v'Esther. In the time of Mordechai and Esther, when those of you who are familiar with the Purim story, they had sent, there had been sent letters all over the world, all over the inhabited world, concerning the impending destruction of the Jews and then the ultimate salvation of the Jews. So it's at the time of Mordechai and Esther, there was an awareness on the part of the entire world that the Jews had been saved. Reish Lakish posach lo pischo laho parshosa mehocha. Ari Noheim v'dov shokek Moshe Rosho alam dal. Ari Noheim ze Nevuchadnezzar Rosho. The portrayal in this pasuk to a roaring lion is a reference to Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Bavel. Dichtiv Bey, regarding him, the pasuk says elsewhere, Olo Aryeh mi subcho. This is a reference to a prophecy of Yirmiyahu regarding the impending conquest of Bavel. So Aryeh here is Bavel, and therefore in the Pasuk that he opens up his drasha with from Mishle, the Ari Nohem is a reference likewise to Nebuchadnezzar. Dov Shokek, Ze Ahasverosh. Ichtiv Bey, this is a reference to the bear in the Pasuk of Mishle is to a reference to Ahasverosh, regarding whom the Pasuk says, this is an Aramaic Pasuk, Varu Cheva Ochori Tinyona Domyo Ledoiv. This is a vision that the Pasuk in Daniel features, where a bear is portrayed, V'toni Rav Yosef, Elu Parsayim, Shoyuchlin V'shoysim Kedoiv. This reference to a bear is a reference to the Persians that eat and drink like bears, Umesubolin Bosor Kadov, and like it seems in terms of their physique, they seem to resemble a bear, that they are very fleshy individuals, Umegadlim Seor Kadov, and are hairy like a bear, V'ein Lemenucha Kadov, and they are a people that are never at rest like a bear. There's a certain imagery here of a bear that's when he is awake, he is a creature that is always seems to be pacing back and forth at a non-quiet kind of creature. Moshel Rasha, this is a continuation of the Pasuk that Rav Reish Lakish opened his drasha with, hence we've continued our underlining. Ze Homon, a wicked leader. Al-Am Dal, Elu Yisrael. This is on the poor nation. Is a reference to Israel, Shem Dalim Min HaMitzvos, because they are lacking, they are poor from mitzvahs. When the Jewish people are lacking in mitzvahs, so that gives rise to oppressive leaders. Rabbi Elozar, Pasuk L'Pisco L'Ho Parshos HaMehocha. From the following, based on the following pasuk, he opened his Purim lecture. Batzaltayim yimach hamikoreh ubeshiflus yodayim yidlof habayis. And the explanation: bishvil atzlus shehoyo lohem liyisrael shloskul b'torah, because of the laziness that the Jewish people demonstrated in their lack of Torah preoccupation. Naase soyni shalakorish baruchu moch. This is a euphemism. So the translation is really, it says the enemy of God became poor, but it's a euphemism, so it's ki'ilu, the Almighty becomes lacking in strength to save the people. V'ein moch ela'oni, the word moch is a reference to someone impoverished or weak in this case. Shenema v'im moch hu me'er kecha, the context of the pasuk that was just cited is a reference to someone who does not have the means, does not have the financial means. So the word moch is someone lacking wealth. Ve'ein mikore ela kodesh baruch hu. The word mikore is a reference to the Almighty. Shenemar hamikore b'mayim aliyosav. The pasuk is a reference to the wondrous workings of the Almighty. So the original pasuk of Bamatzaltayim Imacha Mekoreh is in effect saying that when the Jewish people are lazy in their Torah study, they thereby deplete their merits, and as a result of that, the grounds for which the Jews deserve salvation become severely diminished, and therefore when troubles come upon the Jews, they seem to be they create an image or an impression that the Almighty is unable to save them. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok, Pasach lo pischo lo parshos mehocha. Shir hamalois lulei Hashem shoyolonu yomar no Yisrael. Lulei Hashem shoyolonu bekum oleinu adam. The gist of the pasuk is saying that if not for the Kodesh Baruch Hu, then we would be lost, and at the time that the Adam arose upon us. And he wants to infer from this Adam velo melech, when a man, as opposed to a king, a commoner, came upon us and not a king. This is a reference to Haman's rise against the Jewish people. Haman being a commoner as opposed to an actual monarch. Rova posach lo pischo laho parsho semeyacha. Birvois tzadikim yismach ha'om uvimshol rosha yenach om. Birvois tzadikim yismach ha'om ze Mordechai ve'Esther. When with the increase of tzadikim, of pious ones, of righteous ones, the nation is happy. That is, of course, with the rise of Mordechai and Esther. Dichtiv, the pasuk in the Megillah says, "Vo'ir Shushan Sa'alov v'Sameicha," a reference to Simcha with the under the Yeshua that came through Mordechai and Esther. Uvimshol Rosha Ye'onach Om Ze Homan Dichtiv. The pasuk itself is saying, with the rule of the wicked, the nation lets out a sigh of exasperation. This is a reference to Haman, Dichtivo Ir Shushan Avocha. The city of Shushan was confounded with depression. This was the case early in the Purim story with Haman's edict to eradicate the Jews. Rav Matona Omar Mehocha. And here we don't have the entire phrase spelled out, but the triangle indicates that this is the same thing as before with Posach Lo Pischo Laha Parshoso. So Rav Matona would open his lecture with this Posach. Kimi Goy Godol Asher Loi Elokim Krovim Elov. Here the Gemara does not elaborate on it, but the idea is reflected in the Posach itself, that who is like the great nation that the Almighty is close by. Of course, a reference to the Jewish people. Rav Ashi Omar Mehocha O Haniso Elokim. And the continuation of that Posach is Lokachas Goy Mikerev Goy, where the Pasuk in the Torah is referring to the redemption of the Jews from the midst of the Mitzrayim. That is quite appropriate as well with regard to the redemption of the Jews from the threat of Haman. Rav Omar Mehocha. Vismakartem shom loivecho lavadim ulishvachois v'ein koine. The pasuk that's quoted here from the Teuchecha, from the curses in the Torah, that we will be referring to the Jewish people being sold into slavery, and actually no one buying them. Haman had, Rashi points out that Haman had made a part of his ruling was that no one shall be able to buy even a Jew as a slave. Ushmuel Mehocha. Omar, Shmuel said from here, Lo ma'astim ve'lo ge'altim l'chaloisam, the continuation of the pasuk, L'hofer brisi itam ki ani Hashem Elokechem. And here the Gemara will break it down, the pasuk, into its component parts. Lo ma'astim, I did not scorn them, bimei yivonim. In the time of the Greek rule, where we had the Hanukkah salvation story. Ve'lo ge'altim, Bimei Nebuchadnezzar, and they were not cast out. That was in the time of Nebuchadnezzar, when even though Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, nevertheless the Kodesh Baruch Hu's wrath was carried out on Eitzim Vavonim, so to speak, on the wood and stones of the Beis HaMikdash structure, but the Jews were saved. L'chaloisam, to eradicate them, Bimei Haman. And as the Pasuk had said, he did not do this, to L'chaloisam, to eradicate them. L'hofer brisitam, and I did not abrogate the bris, the covenant that I had with them, Bimei Parsayim, during the Persian rule, Ki ani Hashem Elokehem, Bimei Goig Umogoig. I am their Almighty. And this will extend to the time of the battle of Gog u'Magog. B'masnisa Tana. Here with the double underline, we have indicated also a letter Beis. This is contrasted with Shmuel. Shmuel was noted as Aleph, and this is Beis, because in this Tanaic source, we're going to take the same pasuk that Shmuel cited and break it down with the Tanaic source's explanation of the pasuk. Lo ma'astim b'mei kazdayim. I did not disdain them or scorn them in the time of the Kazdaim. The Kazdaim are the Babylonians. Shehemadati lohem donim chanan mishov azario, that I enabled them to have the leadership of these great men, Doniel, Hananyo, Mishoel, and Azariah. Velogaltim bimei Yevonim. Shehemadati lohem Shimon Atzarif, Hashmono Yevonov, Umatisyo, Kohen Gadol. What you can see is that the Brisa is elaborating on what Shmuel had said, citing different powers, even though there are differences in terms of the powers that the Brisa is citing versus that which Shmuel cited, but the Brisa is adding the leaders of the Jews who were established in each at each juncture. So that here we have in the time of the Avonim, the Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, provided for the leadership of Shimon HaTzadik and his descendants, the Hashmonoim, including the Matisyo Kohen Gadol, and we know that his family was responsible for the uprising against the Greeks during the Hanukkah period. L'chaloisam b'mei homon shemadilem Mordechai v'Esther. L'hofir brisi itam b'mei parsayim, during the Persians, shemaditi lohem beis rebi v'chachmei doros. It was during this period of time that the great scholars of the Mishnayos thrived. Ki ani Hashem Elokehem le'osid lovo she'en kol uma v'loshen yuchol lishlod b'hem. This is a reference to the future, that the Jews will always survive. No nation will ever be able to rule over them. And the l'osid lovo, we will no longer be under the rule of Shivud Malchios, of the rule of foreign forces. Rabbi Levi Omar Mehocha, V'im loy sorishu es yoshvei haretz. Rashi points out that this is a reference to the time of Shaul HaMelech, that had compassion on the Amaleki king Agag, and he spared his life even though he should have killed him. And from that came Haman. So the Pasuk itself is referring to the express command of the Jews to conquer in a full way the inhabitants of the land. And if one does not fulfill that mitzvah, then we'll end up paying the price for the future descendants of those that were spared when they should not have been. Rabbi Chiya Omar Mehocha, V'hoya kashir demisa la'asos lohem ese lochem. The pasuk here is a reference to we'll call it a curse, that if that the Kodesh Baruch Hu is saying that it will be as I had planned to do to your enemies, I will end up doing to you. And this idea of doing to you is in the time of Mordechai and Esther, Haman. We came to a point where we were almost destroyed, just like the Kodesh Baruch Hu had really intended for the enemies of Israel to be eradicated. Vayhi b'mei Achashverosh. At this point in the Gemara, we have a new marking, this a double underline with a design in it. At the outside margin, you notice the Mivneh. We have an indication that this structure is going to continue quite a long way. It's going to continue till Daf Tes Zayin Omid Bey. So you can see that we're holding right now on Daf Yud Aleph. So from Yud Aleph till Tes Zayin Omid Bey, we will be experiencing this with some intermittent gaps as far as the Gemara is concerned. But the double underline with this design in it is Ardroshos al Hapsukim b'Megillas Esther. At this point, the Gemara will be focusing on the content of Megillas Esther, offering Droshos explanations of various Psukim. In general, the Gemara will be following the order of the Megillah, as opposed to selecting Psukim at random. Rather, we will start from the beginning of the Megillah and work our way toward the end. We will attempt to provide in our marked Gemaras where each Pasuk that is coming from the Megillah is to be found. We will include the Perek and the Pasuk, so that in the opening citation you can see Aleph, Aleph. That means Perek, Aleph, Pasuk, Aleph. We will also see at the opening drasha a house form, the house shape, Sidros Shel Drashas Al Hashem Achashverosh. We'll have a series of different explanations of what lies in the name Achashverosh. Turning to the Gemara. So, Vayhi Bimei Achashverosh, Omar Rav, Vay Vohi. That Vayhi is taken to mean a expression of woe. That in the time of Achashverosh, the Jews were subjected to a woeful experience. Achashverosh. Now we focus on his name. And as we mentioned, we're going to see a series of explanations to his name, analysis of the name. Omar Rav, the word Achashverosh, Ochiv Shel Roish, Uben Giloy Shel Roish. Ochiv Shel Roish means similar to the head, and Ben Gilo Shel Roish, this is not in the name Achashverosh, but once you're mentioning he's similar to the Rosh, we will see shortly the Rosh is a reference to Nebuchadnezzar. He also is Ben Gilo Shel Roish. Ben Gilo is an expression, Ben Mazolo. In other words, they both came from, they both have the same mindset. And the Gemara explains, with our lettering, we'll be able to follow at which point what's being explained. So we mentioned Ochiv Shorosh here, you see the Aleph in parentheses, explains that. Ochiv Shorosh means Ochiv Shel Nebuchadnezzar Rosho Shenikro Roish. The Achashverosh of Purim fame is considered the brother of, brother means not literally brother, but similar to him, similar to Nebuchadnezzar, who is called the Rosh. Shinemar Antu Resha Di Dahavo. In this pasuk, without getting into translations, we've dashed on Resha. This pasuk is the word Resha, which means head, is a reference to Nebuchadnezzar. So Achashverosh is called the one similar to Nebuchadnezzar, is called Rosh. Ben Gilo Shorosh. They both had the same mindset. Hu harag, hu bikesh laharog. Hu hechriv, hu bikesh laharriv. The Nebuchadnezzar himself conducted the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, which involved the loss of myriads of Jewish people. That's the fact. That is, he killed. Achashverosh was agreeing to murder as well. And we know that in the case of the Haman request to destroy the Jews, he went along with it. Who hechriv Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the Beis HaMikdash? Who bikesh lahachriv? Achashverosh was also interested in destruction. Shenemar, it should be pointed out historically that prior to the rise to reign of Achashverosh, the construction of the Beis HaMikdash had already started. The foundations were laid. And when Achashverosh rose to power, he brought it to a halt. Shenama uvamalchus Achashverosh betchilas malchus v'kosvu sitno al yoshvei Yehuda v'Yerushalayim. This pasuk is reflecting that point where he brought it to a halt. Ushmuel Omar. Now we're coming to a second opinion as to what the name Achashverosh represents. Shehushcheru, the word Achashverosh is, has in it with some letter switching, it has the word blackened in it. Shehushchub name Shisrael biyomav kishule kedera. Literally, the faces of Israel turned black like the bottoms of pots. That during the when a person is subjected to suffering and impending defeat, so there's a sense of blackness that befalls them. There's also in other Gemaras we see references to, as a result of fasting, that the blackness, a black, darkened complexion becomes characteristic of those that are subjected to that situation. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Kol Shezochro, another explanation for Achashverosh is anyone who remembers him, Omar Ach L'Roishoi. Ach is a lotion of oi, of, as Rashi says, to his head. Hence, Ach Chashverosh is Ach, as we say, an expression that one makes when he feels pain in his head. Rabbi Chanina Omar, Shakol Nasu Roshin Biomov, that Achashverosh has to do with Rosh. Rosh means impoverished, that everyone became impoverished in his time. Shenemar, the Pasuk at the end of Megillus Esther says that Vayosem HaMelech Achashverosh Mas, he placed a tax on the people. The tax apparently was a heavy tax that led to their impoverishment. Continuing with the psukim, Hu Achashverosh. Once again, this is from the same Perek Aleph, Posuk Aleph. We have a Roman numeral here, and this is explained on the outside margin. There's a 1 and 2. This represents Shnei Kvutzas, two groups, Rishoyim v'tzadikim, Shehoyu kach mitchilosin v'atsofon, al pi droshes hamila hu. The word hu indicates a status quo, a maintenance of original state, namely someone who is, where the word who appears in the context of a rosha, it's describing a person who is evil from beginning to end. And where the word who appears in the context of a righteous individual, it indicates his righteousness from beginning to end. So you can see we have a Roman numeral 1 here. That's the first group. These will be Rishoyim. And then two lines later, in the middle of the line, you'll notice a Roman numeral number 2, indicating a group of tzadikim. Hu Achashverosh equals Hu Berisho Mitfiloso V'Atsofo. He was wicked from beginning to end. Hu Esav Hu Berisho Mitfiloso V'Atsofo. Hu Doson V'Aviram. Hein Berishon Mitfiloson V'Atsofon. Hu Hamelech Ochoz Hu Berisho Mitfiloso V'Atsofoi. Avram Hu Avraham. Hu Bitsitko Mitchiloso Vyatsof. Avram Avinu was an unwavering righteous individual from the very beginning till the end of his life. Hu Aharon Umoshe Hein Bitsidkon Mitchiloson Vyatsofon. The David Hu Hakotan Hu Bikatnuso Mitchiloso Vyatsofo. David means a reference to David Hamelech. He was the small one from beginning to end. What do we mean by that? Just like in his early life, when he encountered someone who was greater than he in Torah scholarship, he knew how to humble himself in front of the greater individual. Kach b'malchuso, so too as king, hiktin atzmo etzel misha godol mimenu b'chochma. He showed humility in the face of someone who was greater than him in scholarship. In fact, this is elaborated on in the first parak of Brochus. Ha molech. This is a quote from the first pasuk of the Megillah. Omar Rav. Shemolach me'atzmo. The word hamolech indicates that he ascended to rulership on his own, namely he was not from royal blood. Now this idea that he took over the monarchy on his own, there are two approaches. Amri lo l'shvach, there are some that say, look at this complimentary, v'amri lo l'gnai, and those that look at it negatively. Amri lo l'shvach, Delo have inish the choshev the malka kavos, say that in his time there was no one more worthy of being king, that no one had the leadership capabilities like he. The amri law lignai, that there are those that say, that look at this negatively. Delo have chozi the malchusa, in fact he was not fit for rulership. Umamoni yaseru the yoav v'kom, he paid a lot of money to the powers that be in order to assume the throne. Mehodu v'ad Kush. He ruled from Hodu till Kush. Rav Ushmuel. Before we go further, we have a new geometric form, and this is explained in the outside margin. You see the Mivne heading, and it features these triangles with colored in tips. Shnei Machloikos Rav Ushmuel. We'll see two instances of controversy between Rav and Shmuel. Roman number 1, Mehod V'ad Kush B'Achashverosh. This reference to two places from one to the other, from Hodu V'ad Kush in the time of Achashverosh, and likewise, Mitifsach V'ad Aza, two places as well, B'Shlomo. Shemitarim Malchus Shoy Al Pnei Kol Ha'olam. These are expressions that indicate rulership over the whole world. But the controversy between Rav and Shmuel will be how to look at the references to these two places, as the Gemara will explain. Rav and Shmuel, Chad Omar, Hoidu B'Sof Olam, V'Kush B'Sof Olam, one of them says that these are places that are located at opposite edges, extremes of the settled world. The other approach suggests that Hodu and Kush were two locations that were neighboring one another. So how does that indicate ruling over the whole world? With the same ease that one has to rule over two neighboring places, he similarly ruled over the entire world. This is Roman number 2, and this now we've switched to Shlomo HaMelech. It says by Shlomo HaMelech, Ki hu roide b'chol ever hanohar mitifsach v'ad Aza, that he ruled over the entire area from Tifsach till Aza. Rav Shmuel Haromar Tifsach b'sof olam v'Aza b'sof olam. One suggests that these were two locations at opposite extremes of the settled world. V'chad Omar Tifsach v'Aza b'hadi adodi havu kaimi. The other approach suggests that these were two neighboring locations, and the point is Keshem Shemoach al Tifsach v'al Aza, just as he was able to rule with control over two neighboring locations, Kach Molach al Kol Olam Kulo, he thusly ruled over the entire world. The pasuk in Megillah says Sheva v'Esrim u'Me'a Medina. The pasuk says 7, 20, and 100. One might say it simply as 127, but the pasuk presents it in that fashion to tell me the following. Omar of Chizda, B'tchila Molach al Sheva. He started his rule over 7 nations. Ulebesof Molach al Esrim. He then graduated into ruling over 20. Ulebesof Molach al Mea. And at the end, he ruled over 100. There is room to question, according to this approach, does it mean that at the end he ruled over a total of 100, or each one of these numbers is a function of addition, that he started with 7, then he added another 20, and then added another 100 for a total of 127. But either way, he ruled over a vast area. The Gemara asks, well, Ela Me'ata, if this is the way you look at this kind of number, what do you say about the following? Ushnei Chaye Amram, the years of Amram, Sheva Ushloshim Umas Shona. My Darshas Bey, how do you darshan that? It says in this presentation of Amram's age, you see the numbers appear Sheva Ushloshim Umas, that's 7, 30, and 100. How do you explain that? So the Gemara answers like this, says that I'm not going to explain. By the case of the Megillah, Sheva V'Yasrim Me'ah, this demands explanation. Shaini Hocha, Dekro Yisei Rahu. This is different in that there is an extra words here. Michti Ksiv, the Pasuk had already said Mehodu V'Yad Kush, that he ruled over the area of Mehodu V'Yad Kush, and we saw that everyone agreed that that meant over the entire civilized world. So once I know that he ruled Mehodu V'Yad Kush, Sheva V'Yesru Me'a Medina Lomali, what do I need the numbers for? So Shma Minol L'drosha, from the fact that it's saying the numbers anyway, even though for the basic content I don't need to know that, it therefore must be telling me something additional. And as we said, it was describing how he rose to power in a gradual fashion, first with 7, then 20, and then 100. At this point, the Gemara gets involved with a discussion concerning kings that ruled over the entire civilized world. Shortly, we will see a Tanaic source that has a list of 3 kings in it, and each king will be featured by a marking, a house with a colored in tip. As you can see in our Nosei Mivneh heading, in the outside margin, you see Achov, Nebuchadnezzar, Achashverosh, Gimel, or Shlosha Melochim, Shemolchu, Bekipa. The expression Bekipa literally kippah is a dome or an arch. The heavens, when one stands on flat ground and looks heavenwards, the heaven gives the round nature, the spherical nature of the globe is such that the heavens seems to be a type of dome overhead. So that a king who rules over the whole world is said to be ruling, rules everything under the dome of the heaven. The Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, Shloisha Molchu Bekipah. Three ruled over the entire world. Ve'eluhein, Achav, Nebuchadnezzar, v'Achashverosh. And now we'll king by king use Psukim to prove this. Achav Dichtiv. By Achav it says, Chai Hashem Elokecho Imesh Goy Mamlocho Asher Lo Shalach Adoni Shom Levakeshcha. The Omru Oyin, the Hishbia es Hamamlocha, the Esagoi Kilo Yimtso Eko. To understand this citation, a little background is necessary. In the time of Achav, Eliyahu HaNavi had vowed that no rain would fall to the world other than through his word. And at that point, Eliyahu disappeared. Achav had his executive director, the palace executive director was the prophet Ovadia. And Ovadia one day met Eliyahu HaNavi and told him that we have been seeking you out, we've been searching for you. There is essentially, in this pasuk says that there's no nation that has not been sent to in search for you. And Ovadia describes it, he had been sent to every nation in the world and made the nations swear that upon their saying they did not know of your whereabouts, they would have to swear to that effect. So the Gemara now says, "V'ilo dehavim molech alayu." If it were not that Achav were ruling over the nations, hechi motzi mashbalahu? How can he subject them to swearing, to vowing? They could just tell Achav and his emissaries, "Look, we don't have to answer you. Just go take a walk." But that was not the case. Ovadia says that he was able to subject different leaders of the world to a vow because Achav was in fact in control of everyone around the world. Nebuchadnezzar, dichtiv, hoya hagoy v'amamlocho asher lo yavdu oisoy es Nebuchadnezzar melech bovel yitain es savoroi ba'oil melech bovel. The pasuk is describing that every nation of the world will be subject to the yoke of the king of Babel, certainly indicating that he, Nebuchadnezzar, would be in control of the world. Achashverosh, ha damoran. As far as Achashverosh is concerned, we already said, Mehodu v'ad Kush. At this point, the Gemara has a series of questions, and you can see we have a triangle indicating a series, and this is to explain the outside margin, the mivneh. In this case, the triangle will appear with its point up, and we will be numbering them off 1, 2, 3, and 4. But in the after each number, there will be a inverted triangle with the point facing down. We have a ma'akav, an attempt here to keep track of the discussion. So with the point facing up, we will be highlighting the expression of v'ha ika or v'ha. There is, are there not others? V'ha ika. Sidra shel kushios, a series of questions. The milvad shloishim lochem shimoninu, the mochem b'kipo hare yeshod, that in, besides the three kings that we numbered off as having ruled over the entire world, are there not others? And we will have suggestions. There's a parenthesis expression at the top of the page, Simon Shas Dach. This is the names of four more kings, Shlomo, Sancheriv, Daryavish, and Koresh, where we have psukim that would indicate they ruled over the entire world as well. And then the Gemara will reject each one of these candidates, leaving us with the original three. Each point of rejection will be indicated by this inverted triangle. And we've written on the side, Tshuvos, responses, Lama lo nechshavu ahatzos, why have each one of these suggestions not been accepted? So now we turn to the Gemara. Vesu leka, are there no others? We mentioned at the bottom of Omer Aleph, we had seen Nebuchadnezzar, we saw Achov and Achashverosh. What about Vayikra Shlomo? What about Shlomo HaMelech? The Gemara answers, well, lo solik malchuse, he never finished off his kingdom. That conforms well to the opinion that says that Shlomo HaMelech experienced royalty, monarchy, and then descended. There's another opinion as to Shlomo Melech's reign was one that he started as king. There was a down point in his monarchy, and then he ascended once again to be in full control. My Ikol Meimar. So why is it that Shlomo HaMelech is not in the list of the three that ruled over the whole world? So the Gemara answers, the truth is that Shlomo is not in the list because he had a certain characteristic that none of the others had. Shlomo Milso Achriti Havebei. Shlomo had another characteristic. Shemolach Al Ha'Elyonim Ve'Al HaTachtonim. Not only did he rule over all of the world, but he also ruled over the Elyonim. Those are spiritual forces, forces including demons. Shenamar Vayeshiv Shlomo Al Kisei Hashem. The Pasuk says, and he sat on the throne of the Almighty. The Almighty meaning, in this context, would be something of a spiritual nature. And as we said, Shlomo had control over even the spiritual forces. The Gemara asks, well, v'ha have Sancheirev. Well, wasn't there also Sancheirev that ruled over the world? Dichtiv mi b'chol elo heho arotso so'ela asher yitzilu es artsa miyadi. In this Pasuk, there is an expression where declared in the name of Sancheirev is stated, has there been any nation in the world whose idols were able to save them from me? Indicating that he had overrun the entire world. The Gemara says, well, the reason Sancheirev is not counted is ha have Yerushalayim delo kavsha, because there remained Yerushalayim that he was unable to conquer. This was in the time of Chizkiyahu HaMelech, where Sancheirev had come upon Yerushalayim with the intent of taking it over, but at that point was vanquished. V'ha Ika Daryavesh, what about this monarch, the king Daryavesh, Dichtiv, Daryavesh, Malka Kosov V'chol Amamayu Mayu V'lishnaya Dairin B'chol Ara Shlamchen Yazgei. The Pasuk is an Aramaic Pasuk indicating that Daryavesh had sent letters of greeting to all the nations of the world. The Gemara answers, Hohavya Sheva Delo Moloch Alayu. He ruled over a lot of the world, but there were seven that he did not rule over. Dichtiv, Shvar Kodam Daryavesh, Vehekim O Malchus Vachshta Banaya, Me'ov Yesrim. And we've dot underlined the expression Me'ov Yesrim, indicating that he ruled over 120, but not 127, as we saw by Achashverosh. Gemara asks, Vahiko Koresh, Dichtiv, Koi Omar Koresh Mel Paras, Kol Mamlochis Oretz Nosan Li Hashem. Here you have a declaration on the part of Koresh that all the nations of the world have been given to me by the Almighty. The Gemara says it's not an accurate declaration. Hosam Ishtabuchehu Dekom Ishtabach Benafshei. There he was expressing his own personal pride and how much power he had, but not actually reflecting a control of the entire world. By Yom Imohem, now we go back to Psukim from the Megillah, Perek Aleph Posuk Beis. By Yom Imohem, Kesheves HaMelech. This Pasuk sounds like immediately as he assumed the throne, he then made the feast that's featured at the beginning of the Megillah. Uksiv Basrei, the Pasuk Gimel, says, Bishnas Shalosh Lemochai, which would indicate that the feast that was featured at the beginning of the Megillah, that he made for all of the nations and Shushan, that took place in the third year of his reign. Omar Rava, my kisheves. Rava explains that the first of these two citations, the word kisheves, is not a reference to time, but rather a state of mind. La'achar shenisyashva daito. After he achieved a feeling of comfort. This will all be explained by the Gemara, but we will offer our own introduction before we see it in the text. Ahasuerus, following in the footsteps of his predecessors, we must remember that we're talking about a period of time that was not long after the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. Beis Hamikdash was destroyed by the Nebuchadnezzar of Babel. After Babel, the Persians took over the rulership. These nations, Babel, in the time of King Belshazzar, wanted to demonstrate that the Jews have no hope. There had been a prophecy that the Jews would be in exile or in desolation for a period of 70 years, after which they would be redeemed. These kings were aware of that prophecy, and they made calculations of 70 years, a passage of 70 years. The question that we will have to deal with in this Gemara is, what is the beginning point of the calculation? But they made each one their own calculation of 70 years, at the conclusion of which they saw that the Jews have not been redeemed, giving rise to the thought that there is no hope for them. And if that be the case, then the rebuilding of the Beis Hamikdash is not going to take place. And they took the liberty of bringing forth their Beis Hamikdash booty, the vessels of the Beis Hamikdash, and presenting it to their adherents, and thereby showing their supremacy, if you will, and their deprecation and embarrassment of the Beis Hamikdash and the former Jewish glory. So, in a nutshell, this sugya will be dealing with a cheshbon, with making a calculation of 70 years, the conclusion of which was a sign for these different rulers to finally bring out their Beis Hamikdash vessels and make a show of it. The drasha that we're dealing with right now is Ahasuerus having a sense of peace of mind. So let's look at the Gemara, and we have a few more words to say before we can actually get into the entire sugya. But going back to Rava's comment, Omar Rava, my kisheves, what does that opening pasuk mean? And we said it does not mean, it's not a reference to a point in time, but rather a state of mind. Ahasuerus, the third year of his realm, he made a great feast, and during that great feast, he produced the Beis Hamikdash vessels that he had in his possession to make a show of it, as we said before. And this point in time was a function of his now feeling a sense of confidence, and that's what this expression means, Lachar Shenisyashvo Daito. Omar means Ahasuerus declared, Belshazzar Choshaveto, my predecessor, a few kings earlier, that is, made a cheshbon and made a mistake, and he paid for it dearly. Ano chashivno velo to'ino. I will make a calculation, and my calculation will not be erroneous. And that's what is reflected here at Kisheves. He came to the end of his calculation of 70 years, saw that there was no redemption of the Jews, felt a sense of confidence, and brought out the kelim of the Beis Hamikdash and made a spectacle of it. As you can see in the Gemara, we have a long bracketed section. The bracket length indicator appears to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, a vertical dashed dotted line. And this goes quite a way down, Yud Beis Omid Aleph as well. The note that accompanies this bracketed section is found in the inside margin. Sograyim Elu Einom L'Shem Dilug. The purpose of these brackets is not like the usual purpose of skipping. It's not for skipping. Elo L'Tachem. It's rather to show the boundaries. The Tachem Oyrech HaGemara, to show the length of the section of Gemara Shemisasik B'Cheshbonus Akshurim L'Golus Bavel, the length of Gemara that deals with calculations that are related to the Babylonian exile of the Jewish people. So, as we said, this preoccupation with the Babylonian exile and calculations will continue till the third wide line on Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph. Let us look at the inside margin. Nosei Mivneh. In the Gemara, we will see a diamond featured, and to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, there will be a 1 and a 2. You'll have to scan down the page to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text in order to find where that 2 is. And our note says, in the outside margin, Cheshbonus Shonim She'asu number 1 Baal Shetzar and 2 Achashverosh. Calculations that Baal Shetzar and Achashverosh make, Binyan Golus Bovel, with regard to the Jewish exile in Babylonia, b'matara, with the intention, lahatzdik hitzaskle beis hamikdash, to justify their producing, their bringing forth the vessels of the beis hamikdash, lishtamish bohem ulevazoisan, with the purpose of using and disparaging the beis hamikdash, disparaging the Jewish people, al smach hamachshava, Sheshuv lo yigalu Yisrael, based on the thought that the Jews will no longer be redeemed. We will see additional markings as the sugya unfolds. You can see there's a double underline with dots in it. At the end of Balshetzer's calculation, there's this marking appears, Hashta vadei su lo mifriki. They reach their calculation of 70 years. The Jews are still in exile. No sign of redemption on the horizon. And we featured that point in the Gemara with this double underline where Hashto Vadai now su lo mifri, they will no longer be redeemed. And the other marking that we feature is this dashed underline, diagonal dashed underline, Apik Moni de Beimatish of Ishtamish Bu, where the Gemara features that they took out, they produced the vessels of the Beis Hamikdash and then used it for their personal gain. Before we delve into the Gemara itself, we have provided, as you can see on the facing page, a chart, a time chart. It's entitled Cheshbon Shivim Shana, a calculation of 7 years, me, and we have 1, 2, and 3, three different starting points. One starting point, and it goes without saying that depending on what your starting point is, you will be able to calculate whether it was an accurate calculation or not. We mentioned earlier that each one of these kings, we have Baal Shetzar and Achashverosh being aware of a 70-year phenomenon, and at the end of which the Jews were expected to be redeemed. The question, though, is at what point do you begin your calculation? If, of course, you begin it too early, when you get to the end of your 70 years and the Jews are not redeemed, it's not a function of the giving up on the Jews, but a function of your inaccurate calculation. So we will see, featured in our discussion, three different beginning points. The one is Malchus Bavel, namely Alias Nebuchadnezzar L'Shilton. That's what we've written in, and we're reading that on this accompanying page. The Malchus Bavel is a reference to the ascent of Nebuchadnezzar to the to the rulership. That, in fact, is Cheshbonus of Baal Shetzar. So, when we get to the chart section, and you see a timeline with a Roman numeral number 1, That represents a 70-year calculation from the beginning of Nebuchadnezzar's reign. Number two, Golus Yehoyachin. That's referred to by the term Golus Bovel. Yehoyachin was the name of a king that ruled toward the end of the first Beis Hamikdash period, at which point there was an exile. In fact, the final exile of the Jewish people was in sections, in parts. So the first part of that final exile was in the time of the King Yehoyachin. And if you start your 70-year period of counting from Golos Yehoyachin, you will end up the 70 years at the end of the second year of Achashverosh's realm. And that's Cheshbonish Achashverosh. That's what we saw in the Gemara, that at the third year there was a completion of the 70 years since Golos Yehoyachin, and he felt if they're not redeemed now, then all hope is lost for the Jews. There's a third Cheshbon of 70 years, which begins from Churban Yerushalayim. It may be pointed out that when Yehoyachin, the king, was exiled with his fellow refugees, Jerusalem remained standing. There was a gap in time between that first wave of exile and the eventual destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. Churban Yerushalayim is a third Cheshbon, a third beginning point for the Cheshbon for the 70-year calculation. Cheshbon Shamur La'Agia L'Shnas Yud Dalet Shachashverosh. Now that Cheshbon from Churban Yerushalayim is supposed to get you to the 14th year of Achashverosh's realm, not the third year like we open up the Megillah. If we look at the chart itself, there are a number of numbers. These numbers will gain significance when learning the Gemara itself. But to get a little familiarity beforehand, let's try to decipher this chart. So we see on the left side, we see lines with Roman numerals over them, 1, 2, and 3. The first vertical line has in the middle a note indicating 70 Mimalchus Bovel. This Roman numeral number 2, 70 Migolus Bovel. And Roman numeral number 3, vertical line, has in the middle of it an indication 70 Michurban Yerushalayim. The calculation of years starts with number 1. Our starting point is Tchilas Malchuso Shel Nebuchadnezzar. That's called Malchus Bovel, the beginning of the realm or the reign of King Nebuchadnezzar. That began with Kibush Nineveh. He conquered the Ashur, the Assyrian city of Nineveh. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Bovel, conquered Ashur. In his first year of realm, he had conquered Nineveh. Nineveh is a city that may be familiar to some of you from the story of Yonah Hanavi, Yonah, the prophet that we read about on Yom Kippur, who was swallowed into the belly of a large fish. In that particular story, Nineveh is featured. So Nebuchadnezzar, who was many years after the Yonah story, he conquered in his first year of realm Nineveh. Continuing on the chart, under the one you see a number 2, Kibush Yehoyakim. That's the Nebuchadnezzar's conquering of the region of Israel, Judea. At that point, King Yehoyakim was the leader of the Jews. So in the second year of Nebuchadnezzar's realm, he conquered Yehoyakim. In the eighth year of Nebuchadnezzar's realm, Golus Yehoyachin, there was an exile where King Yehoyachin and a group of Jews were sent into exile, and we call that Golus Bavel. In other words, though Nebuchadnezzar had conquered Israel, he did not send them into exile until the eighth year of his realm. That's the first wave of exile. In the 19th year of his realm, there was Golus Tzidkio. And that's the exile under the leadership of under the king Tzidkio, who was really put into office by Nebuchadnezzar. And in the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar's realm, there was the second wave of exile that accompanied the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. Now, from year 19 till year 45, Nebuchadnezzar continued ruling. In other words, Nebuchadnezzar reigned for a period of 45 years. There's an indication from year 8 to year 45 is a span of 37 years. That's indicated by the number in parentheses. That number will be mentioned in the Gemara, hence we've put it on our chart. After the 45 years of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, there was a king that succeeded him, Evil Meroidach, or if you prefer, Evil Murdoch. But vowelization is not Evil Murdoch, but rather Evil Meroidach. He reigned for 23 years. In terms of numbers or year calculations, that gets you to 68 years from the beginning of Malchus Bavel. After Evil Meroidach, another 2 years. 2 years, there was the realm of Belshazzar. You'll notice, if you look at the vertical Roman numeral timeline, Roman numeral number 1 says, if you start at the beginning of Malchus Bavel and continue for 70 years, you get to this point in time. And it indicates that Belshazzar Hotzi Klei HaMikdash, he took out the Kelim of Beis HaMikdash, which is 70 shonim, 70 years, mitchilas Malchus Bavel. The Gemara will tell us that it was at that point, the very night that he took out the Kelim of Beis HaMikdash, he was murdered. The years continue that if you count, apparently, when we mentioned the two for Belshazzar, that's a completion of the 2 years of Belshazzar. That brings you into the third year, so that accounts for a one more year that we list under Belshazzar. Then 5 years for Daryovesh and Koresh. Another 2 years of Ahasuerus's realm. If you look, you'll notice that from the end of Belshazzar, going ahead 8 years, that brings you to the end of the second year of Ahasuerus's realm. At this point, if you make the 70-year calculation, beginning with Golus Bavel, you can see that on the using the vertical line with a number Roman numeral number 2 heading, you can see that we have it begun from the 8th year of Nebuchadnezzar's realm, which we called Golus Bavel. That's featured in parentheses near on the line where you see the 8. So 8 from that point, if you start your 70-year count from there, 70 years from Golos Bavel, that brings you to the end of the second year of Ahasuerus's realm. Well, at that point, as he starts his third year of rule, the pasuk that we see at the beginning of Megillah says he made a very big meal, big feast for essentially all of the world, inviting everyone to see his glorious palace and various royal accoutrements. And it was at that point that he took out the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash, because he made a calculation of 70 years, starting with Golos Bavel. He was wrong, though, because it was not 70 years from Golos Bavel that the Jews were supposed to be redeemed in the first place. And as a result of his inaccurate calculation and his attempt to disparage the Jewish people and their Beis HaMikdash, there came the death of Vashti and the rise of Haman, which was in effect a major setback for Ahasuerus at that point. The real calculation of the 70 years really should have been from Churban Yerushalayim. 70 years, not from the beginning of Malchus Babel, not from the beginning of Golos Babel, but 70 years from Churban Yerushalayim. That will bring you to till basically the end of the realm of Ahasuerus. In other words, you're going from year 3 of Ahasuerus. We should say like this, that since the beginning time, instead of beginning from Golos Babel, the beginning calculation should have started 11 years later from Churban Yerushalayim. And you can see on the chart from year 8 to year 19 is a gap of 11 years, and the starting of the 70 calculation should have been from the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar's realm, namely from Churban Yerushalayim, so that using the slide rule effect, you move ahead 19 at the end of the Cheshvan as well, so it takes you from not the third year of Ahasuerus' realm, but rather 3 plus 11 brings you to the 14th year of his realm. It's at that point we would expect the Jews to be redeemed. With all of that lengthy introduction in mind, we turn to the Gemara. We saw Rava explain Kisheves HaMelech, where Ahasuerus declared that Belshazzar made a calculation but was in error. I will make a calculation and will not be in error. My he. We see the starting the bracketed section, my he and dichtiv. So this is number one. The one here that you see to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text corresponds to the little one in the diamond, just two lines up, a reference to what was Belshazzar's cheshbon and his mistake. So the Gemara presents the whole story. Ki lefim lois lebavel shivim shana efkoid eschem. This pasuk is a reference to a 70-year period of time will lapse, at which point the Jews will be redeemed. Uksiv. There's another pasuk that says, "Lemalois lechorvois Yerushalayim shivim shana." When 70 years are completed from the destruction of Yerushalayim. Now, Belshazzar seemed to focus on the first of these two psukim, and he figured that you should make the cheshbon of 7 years from the point at which Bovel took over from Asher, where Bovel took over the rule. Chashov arboim v'chomesh v'chanetzar. Calculate 45 years of Nebuchadnezzar's realm. The esrim utlas to Evil Merodach. 23 years of Evil Merodach's realm. V'tarti didei and two of his Belshazzar. So that's 45 and 23 is 68 plus 2 is 70. Ha shivim, that gets you to 70. 7 years went by. The Jews have not been redeemed. Belshazzar figured, that's it. There's no redemption in store for them. Apik money debay makdisho vishdamishbu. He brought forth the kalim of the Beis Hamikdash that Nebuchadnezzar had originally captured, and he, Belshazzar, took them out and used them for his personal gain, his personal glory, and also a disparagement to the Jews. We have an internal brackets and a note on the inside margin. You see there, so the note says, Sograim Elu L'Shem Diluk. This is a brackets for skipping purposes. The length, by the way, of these brackets is indicated by a special length indicator, a vertical dotted line to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. You can see at the end of this vertical dotted line where in the Gemara text the brackets closes. The note continues and says, Achareihem, after these brackets, Mamshich Cheshbonu Shel Belshazzar. Belshazzar's calculation will continue. In other words, references to his calculation will continue. Besorchem Nimsa Cheshbon Shel 45 Shnois Hamluchos Shel Nebuchadnezzar. Since we had mentioned that Nebuchadnezzar reigned for 45 years, in the brackets will be a focus on the 45 years of Nebuchadnezzar. But bear in mind that as far as the Gemara just before this, the 45 was only a detail in the Belshazzar Cheshbon of 70 years. So if we skip the brackets for a moment, The Gemara after the brackets picks up again with Baal Shetzar's Cheshbon. Baal Shetzar's Cheshbon had said that we're going to start from the takeover of Nebuchadnezzar. So the Gemara there makes a reference to Tamni, the Talsin Vesheva, the 8 years. That's a reference to the first 8 years of Nebuchadnezzar, culminating in the Golos Bavel. And then from the Golos Bavel till the end of his realm was Talsin Vesheva, another 37 years. Hare Arboyin V'chomesh V'chanetzar. That accounts for the 45 years of Nebuchadnezzar. V'esrin V'tlas Devil Merodach Gemara. That is an oral tradition that the Evel Merodach ruled for 23 years is Gemara, oral tradition. The Tarti Didei and the 2 years of his own realm, of Balshetzer's realm, Ha Shivim. That culminates with 70. Omar Balshetzer declared, Hashta Vanei So Sulo Mifriki. They're not going to be redeemed anymore. And Apik Moni Debe Kenishta, Debe Makdisha Vishtamish Behu. He then took out the Beis HaMikdash vessels and used them. Before we go any further in the Gemara, let's go back now over the bracketed section. Unevuchanetzar minolon darboin v'chomish shonin molach. Here the Gemara is asking, from where do we know that Unevuchanetzar reigned for 45 years? The Omar Mar, it says, there's a Tanaic source from Maseches Erechin. This source is very vague in and of itself, but the Gemara will spell it out, will explain it as we go on. So first we read the source, Golu B'Sheva Golu B'Shmoina, an exile in the year 7, an exile in year 8, Golu B'Shmoina Esrei, Golu B'Tsha Esrei, exile in 18 and exile in 19. This is now broken down. We are using, in the source itself, we used a Roman numeral, 1 and 2, and under each number, we saw, under Roman number 1, we saw 7, 8, and with regard to Roman number 2, we see 18, 19. The Gemara explains. Golu B'Sheva, the number 7, they were exiled, the Jews were exiled in the 7th year, L'kibush Yoyakim, Golos Yehoyachin. The Golos Yehoyachin took place 7 years after the conquest of Nebuchadnezzar over the king Yehoyakim. Shehi Shmoina Levu Nebuchadnezzar. That happened to be the 8th year of Nebuchadnezzar's realm. In order to appreciate this, you can simply go back to the chart and notice that 7 years, try to find on the chart, there happens to be a number 8. You'll see on that line it says Golos Yehoyachin. Golos Yehoyachin was how many years after Kibush Yehoyakim? Well, if you start from 2 and count till 8, you'll find that there's a 7-year period of time from the point at which the Yehoyakim was conquered until Golos Yehoyachin. That's the 7 that we just made reference to. That 7 years happens to get you also into the 8th year of Nebuchadnezzar's realm. So once again, 7 years after Kibush Yehoyakim, which was the 8th year of Nebuchadnezzar's realm, there was the beginning of Golos Bavel. The next calculation, Golu B'Shmoina Esrei, back into the Gemara, Roman numeral number 2, Golu B'Shmoina Esrei, the Kibush Yoyakim, Golu Sitio Shi'i Chayes Revuchanetzar. 18 years after the conquest of Yehoyakim, there was Golus Sitiyahu, that happened to be the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar's realm. That too should be self-explanatory. If you look at the chart, you can see 19 next to Golos Yo, that happened to be 18 years after the Kibush Yehoyakim, which was the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign. The Gemara goes on with now a survey of Nebuchadnezzar's entire kingdom. The Amamar, Shana Rishana Kibesh Nineveh, in his first year, he conquered Nineveh. That we also had indicated on our chart, the first line of the year listing. Shnia Kibesh Yoakim, the second year of his realm, he conquered Yehoyakim of Judea. Uksiv, Vayhi B'shloishim V'sheva Shana L'golos Yehoyachin, Melech Yehuda, B'shneim Asar Chodesh B'Esar V'Chamesh L'Chodesh, Nasa Evel Meroidach Melech Bavel, B'shnas Malchusa Esroish Yehoyachin Melech Yehuda, Vayotze Oso Mibes Hakele. What has this pasuk told us? That 37 years after the Golos Yehoyachin. Now Golos Yehoyachin was in year 8 of Nebuchadnezzar. So 37 years after that, that would be a total then of 45 years. 45 years lapsed since Nebuchadnezzar took over. This king, Evil-Merodach, ascended to power, and he took Yehoyachin out of incarceration and set him free from his state of incarceration. Then we just most recently made a reference to the numbers 37 and 8 in our discussion. We mentioned 37 years after Golos Yehoyachin, which was 8 years after Nebuchadnezzar had taken the reins of leadership. So the Gemara says, Tamni V'talsin V'sheva, 8, a reference to the 8th year of his realm, plus another 37 years till the end of his realm. Harei Arboim V'chamish Nebuchadnezzar. That accounts for the 45 years of Nebuchadnezzar. V'esher mitlas de'evom rodach Gemara, another 23 years to account for Evom Rodach, that's an oral tradition. V'tarti didei, and the two of his, of Baal Shetzar, ha shivin, that gets you to 70. Once again, that's 70 from the beginning of Malchus Bavel. Omar, Baal Shetzar saw 70 years passed. The Jews have not been redeemed. Hashtavare Salumifriki, they're not going to be redeemed anymore. Apik Moni de Beibakdish of Ishtamish Buit. He took out the vessels of the Beis Hamikdash and used them. Hainu de Gemarle Doniel. Based on this, we see a Posuk in Doniel, who lived at the time of Baal Shetzar. It says, Val Mori Shma is from Mamto, the Moni de Beise, he saw you Kadmoch. You have shown haughtiness over the Almighty, and regarding the vessels of his house, you took them out in front of you. Uksiv, and it also says, Bei Balel Yukod Baal Shetzar Malka Kazdoi, that night, the Baal Shetzar, the king of the Kazdoi of the Babylonians, was murdered. Uksiv, Vidaryovesh Mado, Kabo Malchuso, Kabar Shonin, Shisin, Vitartin. Daryovesh, the Modai, took over from Baal Shetzar at age 62. Omar, now we turn to Achashverosh's cheshbon of 70 years. Achashverosh declared, "Iu mitatoi, he made a mistake. Ano chashiv nevolotoino, I'm going to make a calculation without error." Miksiv l'malchus bavel, does the original pasuk say that the 70 years is calculated from the reign of Bavel? Libavel ksiv. The original pasuk said ki lefim lois libavel. Now that pasuk can be seen if you look up on you look up the page. You'll notice there's the one in the diamond. Next to that, there's a little star, and that corresponds to the little star that we have over here, showing you where that comes from, where this the word Lebovel comes from. The pasuk said, "Ki lefim lois Lebovel." My Lebovel. What is intended? What's the intent of the word Lebovel? Says Achashverosh, "Legolos Bovel," the exile to Bovel, not the beginning of the realm, but the exile to Bovel. Kamo Betziran, how many years are missing if you would have calculated from the beginning of the Malchus Nebuchadnezzar and not from Golos Bavel? So you're missing how many years? Tamni. 8 years are missing. So Chashverosh says, instead of starting from the Malchus Bavel, I've got to start the calculation 8 years later. So I have to replace the 8 years from the beginning with 8 years at the end. Choshev v'ayil chilufai. He makes a calculation and inserts in their stead, in terms of the 8 years at the beginning, he now adds those missing 8 years in their stead. Chilufai means in exchange, in their stead, here at the end. Chadad v'al shetzar. One for the last year of Baal Shetzar, the Chomish Daryovish v'Koresh, and 5 years of his predecessors, Daryovish and Koresh, Vitarti Diday, and 2 years of his own realm, bringing you now to the third year of Ahasuerus, Hoshivin. That gets you to 70 years. 70 years, the starting point of which was what? Was Golus Babel. Now he beheld that 70 years have gone by and they were not redeemed. The Jews did not return to Eretz Yisrael in the Beis HaMikdash. Omar Achashverosh declared, Hashtavari Sulam Ifriki. They are no longer going to be redeemed. As a result of that, Apigmoni de Bei Makdisha Vishtamishbu, he produced the Beis HaMikdash vessels and used them, and that is featured in the Psukim that one reads at the concerning that big feast that one reads about at the beginning of the Megillah story. Bos Satan Variked Beinehem, the Satan appeared and his presence was there. He danced amongst them, stirred up trouble. V'horag es Vashti. And the result of that was the execution of the queen. The Gemara asks, but v'hashapir choshev, but it would seem that he made a good calculation. He said not to count from the beginning of their realm, but rather lebavel, indicating from Golos Bavel. 70 years later, that would take you to the third year of his realm. And why? Why is he seen as having made a mistake? The Gemara answers, Ihunami mitatoi, he also made a mistake. He should have counted 70 from the destruction of Yerushalayim, not from the Golus Bavel. The Gemara asks, well, self kama batsira, now even if you count from the destruction of Yerushalayim, how many years was Achashverosh off? So what you have to look at is, you look at, instead of counting from Golus Yoyachin, the gap of time between Golus Yoyachin and the Churban Yerushalayim was in fact a gap of 11 years. So how many years are missing in his calculation? Chad, sorry. Ihu Kama Molach, how many years did Achashverosh himself reign? Our Besar, he reigned for 14 years. So Achashverosh's own cheshbon got you to the third year of his realm. Why not add 11 years to that? That gets you to the 14th year of his realm. Well, Bar Besar Diday, Iboyale, the Mivdi Beis HaMikdash, it should have been that in the 14th year of his realm, the Beis HaMikdash should have been rebuilt. And yet it did not. Why does this pasuk say Badin Betelus Avidas Beis Elokodi Birushalayim? This pasuk, an Aramaic pasuk, indicates that even at the end of the realm of Achashverosh, Rashi points out we're already into the reign of Koresh, his successor. The Beis HaMikdash was still not built. So even if you say that the calculation of 70 should have been from Churban Yerushalayim, it still seems to be inaccurate. Omar Rava, Shonim Mikutoos Havu. In the calculations we have made till now, we were counting as complete years, fractional years. As a result of that, if you were to, in fact, count a full 70 years, you would find yourself not in the 14th year of Nebuchadnezzar, of Achashverosh's realm, but a couple of years after that. Tanyo Nami Hochi, the Brisa at the top of Yud Beis, Omer Aleph, supports this. The Oid Shona Achas Yesh Lebovel, the Omad Daryovesh Vehishlima. There was another year for Bovel that was completed by Daryovesh, indicating that we had factored in incomplete years. The Gemara will continue in the next section with a reference to Doniel having made a cheshbon and himself being inaccurate. Omar Rava, Av Doniel tol b'hai cheshbona. Even Doniel erred in this calculation. Now, how do we know that Doniel erred in his calculations? Dechtiv b'shnas achas l'malchoy ani Doniel binoisi basforim. Midukomar binosi, from the fact that this word binosi is used, binosi means I had to concentrate, I had to analyze. So michlal the Torah, it must be that initially he had made some type of calculation error, and he had to focus, he had to analyze the calculation. Mikomokom koshu kroy adodi. After all said and done, we still have a seeming contradiction in the psukim. Ksiv lemalo is bovel. One pasuk says 70 years since bovel. Ksiv lecharbo is Yerushalayim. The other pasuk says 70 years from the destruction of Yerushalayim. So lemalo is bovel could very well have implied, like Ahasuerus suggested, from the beginning of Golos bovel. Be that as it may, but there is another pasuk that indicates another calculation, another beginning point for the calculation, namely from the destruction of Yerushalayim. Omar Rava, Lepkida b'Alma. The pasuk that says Lamalois Bovel at the end of 70 years from that pasuk, the Kodesh Baruch Hu, it will remind himself, so to speak, will remember them, but it's not an indication that an actual rebuilding will take place from that point. V'hainu dichtiv, koyamar kurish melpras, koma mochosorets nosan li Hashem alokei ha-shamayim, fu pokad olai livnois lo bayis b'yusholayim. And he instructed me to build the Beis HaMikdash, but the idea of pokad olai is not to be associated with the actual building, so that the two psukim are not talking about the same thing. Dorash Rav Nachman Rav Chizdo Ma'idichtiv Komar Hashem LeMashicha LeKorosh Asher Chzakti BiYamino. In this pasuk, Korosh is referred to as Mashicho. V'chi Korosh Moshiachoya. Was Koresh the Moshiach? Of course not. He wasn't the anointed one. He wasn't the Moshiach. Elo Omar le'Alishmo le'Moshiach. Rather, what is happening in this pasuk, the Koresh Baruch Hu is turning to the Moshiach, and he's saying, HaKoresh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, says to the Moshiach, he says, Koivil ani l'cho, I want to complain to you, Al Koresh, regarding Koresh. I have words of criticism regarding Koresh that I want to tell you. Ani Amarti, I had said, Hu Yivne Iri V'Kaz Gil Yisai, I wanted him to be responsible for the rebuilding of Yerushalayim and the ingathering of the exiles. For Hu Omar, and Koresh himself said, Mi Bochem Mikol Amei Or Mikol Amoi V'Yaal. He made an announcement, leaving the initiative to the people instead of himself taking the initiative and actively gathering them and rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash. So because he left it for them to do on their own, we see the Almighty criticizing Koresh for that. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.